Let no weapon formed against us prosper.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, the only true and living God, who loves us so dearly, full of grace and mercy. Please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My scripture comes from James 1, 2 through 4. Subject is the meaning of joy in the Bible, part 2. James 1, 2 through 4 reads, My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. My text is James 1, 2, which states, My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. The graces and duties of a state of trial and affliction are now to be pointed out to us. If we attend to these things and grow in them as we should do, how good would it be for us to be afflicted? One Christian grace to be exercised is joy. Count it all joy. We must not sink into a sad and disconsolate frame of mind, which would make us faint under our trials, but must endeavor to keep our spirits dilated and enlarged, the better to take in a true sense of our case, and with greater advantage to set ourselves to make the best of it. Philosophy may instruct men to be calm under these troubles, but Christianity teaches them to be joyful, because such exercises proceed from love and not fury in God. In them, we are conformable to Christ, our head, and they become marks of our adoption. By suffering in the ways of righteousness, we are serving the interests of our Lord's kingdom among men, and edifying the body of Christ. And our trials will brighten our graces now and our crown at last. Therefore, there's a reason to count it all joy when trials and difficulties become our lot in the way of our duty. And this is not purely a New Testament paradox, but even in Job's time, it was said, Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. There is the more reason for joy in afflictions if we consider the other graces that are promoted by them. Number two, faith is a grace that one expression supposes and another expressly requires. Knowing this, that the trials of your faith, and then let him ask in faith. There must be a sound believing of the greatest truths of Christianity and a resolute cleaving to them in times of trial. That faith which is spoken of here as tried by afflictions consists in a belief of the power and word and promise of God and in faithfulness and constancy in the Lord Jesus Christ. There must be patience. The trial of faith worketh patience. The trying of one grace produces another, and the more the suffering graces of a Christian are exercised, the stronger they grow. Tribulation worketh patience. Romans 5:3. Now to exercise Christian patience aright, we must, one, let it work. It is not a stupid, but an active thing. Lack of feeling and Christian patience are very different. By the one, men become, in some measure, insensible of their afflictions. But by the other, they become triumphant in and over them. Let us take care in times of trial that patience and not passion be set at work in us. Whatever is said or done, let patience have the saying and doing of it. Let us not allow the indulging of our passions to hinder the operation and noble effects of patience. Let us give it leave to work, and it will work wonders in a time of trouble. We must let it have its perfect work. Do nothing to limit it, not to weaken it, but let it have its full scope. If one affliction comes upon the heels of another, and a train of them are drawn upon us, yet let patience go on till its work is perfected. When we bear all that God appoints, and as long as he appoints, and with a humble, obedient eye to him, and when we not only bear troubles, but rejoice in them, then patience have its perfect work. When the work of patience is complete, then the Christian is entire, and nothing will be wanting. It will furnish us with all that is necessary for our Christian race and warfare, and will enable us to persevere to the end. And then his work will be ended and crowned with glory. After we have abounded in other graces, we have need of patience. Hebrews 10:36 states, "But ye have need of patience, that, after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. But let patience have its perfect work, and we shall be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." What is the definition of real joy? Simply put, biblical joy is choosing to respond to external circumstances with inner contentment and satisfaction, because we know that God will use these experiences to accomplish his work in and through our lives. Joy is a choice, but it does come from the Lord, and he alone is the originator of true joy. We do not have to produce it or drum it up on our own. Galatians 5:22 and 23 gives us a list of the fruits of the Spirit. And joy is listed there as one of the byproducts of the Holy Spirit living and abiding in us. This chapter in Galatians tells us that it is possible to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, meaning that God will naturally produce his fruit in our lives as we live for him. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. God gave us Jesus, who lived and was crucified on the cross for our sins, so that we may have eternal life. Therefore, let us live for him and choose joy during times of affliction. FDA may finally ban artificial red dye from beverages, candy, and other foods. A decision on red number 3, the synthetic coloring made from petroleum, could come in the next few weeks. December 7, 2024, by Caitlin Sullivan. The biggest distinction between the United States and Europe is that they have been doing post-market review of chemicals for over 20 years. The FDA, although we have authorization to do post-market review, there is no statutory mandate. That may change. In September, the FDA held a public meeting about proposed enhancements to reevaluating chemicals that have been approved for use in food, including color additives. The agency also extended the public comment period to late January 2025. An FDA spokesperson said in an email that the food dyes it has approved are reviewed by the Joint Food and Agriculture Organization of the United States, United Nations, and World Health Organization's Expert Committee on Food Additives. In addition to evaluation and review by the FDA supports and participates in the international risk assessments conducted under JECFA as a part of our post-market activities to ensure safety and substances added to food, the spokesperson said. All the colors listed have recently undergone assessments for safety in food by the JECFA and were found to be safe for use in food under current use conditions. States already banning the artificial food dyes. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager. Today's topic is soul satisfaction. The world's best-selling book, the Bible, teaches that a person is more than just a body. Each of us is a living soul. The Hebrew name for soul, nafshah, means living being, and the Greek name for soul, psuche, means to breathe. Our souls are created in the image of God, and God has implanted his own nature within us and given us the breath of life. Just as our bodies have specific characteristics and appetites, so do our souls. The characteristics of the soul include intelligence, emotions, and will. The human soul longs for peace, contentment, and happiness. Most of all, the soul has an appetite for God, a yearning to be reconciled to its Creator and to have fellowship with Him forever. In our world, we give most of our attention to satisfying the appetites of the body, like food, clothing, and security, and practically none to the soul. Consequently, we are one-dimensional. We become physically and materially large while remaining spiritually anemic. The soul demands as much attention as the body. It demands fellowship and communion with God. It demands worship, quietness, prayer, and meditation. Nothing but God ever completely satisfies because the soul was made for him. Jesus said in Matthew, the 22nd chapter and 37th verse, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Please don't starve your soul, for what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Remember, we have all violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. Yet God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and arose so that you may have everlasting life. So put God first, trust and obey his word, and take action for your soul satisfaction.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
Praise is warfare when the enemy is coming against you. Praise is how you fight. God inhabits your praise. Just like God comes in, when praises go up,